Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Janice P.M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday. It's August the 3rd, 2023, and today we are at page 98, reading and sharing the very first paragraph that begins with, "It is not the matter of giving that is in question." It ends with, "Upon other people, ahead of dependence on God." Now, today's readers are Laura W. with the steps, 12 steps of OA, Kathy B. with our 12 traditions of OA, and then we have our readers. The first reader will be Jody E., and the second reader for 164 will be Venetia C., Anita, I hope I'm saying that right, and then we have Sherry Z. Now, and Kathleen W. will be our newcomer greeter, sponsors, and announcements will be Leslie M. Now, I have two share IDs for you gals and men and women. Wednesday, that's yesterday, August the 2nd, 2023, the 10 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time, is 20,496. That's 20,496. And today is Thursday, August the 3rd, 2023, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. The share ID is 20,502, and that's 20,502. All right, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, quote, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers," unquote. And at a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. So now I will ask steps. Laura W. will be reading our 12 steps. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Laura W. from Ohio, recovered compulsive overeater, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Laura W., compulsive overeater, recovered from Ohio. Thank you.
And thank you, Laura. Now I will ask, please, Kathy B., please, to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Yes, good morning. I am Kathy B. from Oklahoma, a recovered compulsive overeater. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
And thank you, Kathy B. from Oklahoma. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I will time you, and I hope that that'll work out fine. I'll kindly remind you. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Now, our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Now, to share, just press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Well, today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 98. We're going to read the very first paragraph that begins, "It is not the matter of giving that is in question," just reading one paragraph only. Okay. And we have Jody. Jody E. is going to begin for us.
Thank you, Janice. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Well, that's pretty clearly stated, and I really love it. I really believe it. I'm just starting my timer, but I'm not doing it very quickly. it has to be driven into my consciousness that no sponsor, no meeting, and no particular meeting or person can save me. I really can only save myself by working these 12 steps. And the 12 steps can contain within them an admission of powerlessness, personal powerlessness, coming to believe in something greater than myself that can restore me to sanity, and a surrender of my will and my life over to the care of this higher power. In other words, dependence on something spiritual of my own conception. I can come to conceive of it as I will. Not on other people that I depend, but on God. And that can be confusing because when we come in, we do get a sponsor. We are encouraged, very much so, to get a sponsor. We are encouraged to go to meetings, to call people, to be in contact with other people. And in fact, in my own experience, I have to have people in my recovery so that I can recover. But I don't depend on any one person. People are human, and they will fall off any pedestal that I put them on. They are fallible. They will disappoint me, most likely. So my dependence is on something greater. The fellowship as a whole, my higher power. I turn my will and my life over to the care of God, not over to the care of any one person. And nor do I depend on any spouse or employer. My higher power, God, is my new employer. God is my father. I am his child. And you can use that in the female if you prefer. God is my mother. I am her child. So we get to conceive of this higher power in any way that works for us, thank heaven. But we do need to come to believe in some kind of something spiritual. And so this is a spiritual solution. And as far as sponsees go, and with that, I need to pass because my time is up. Thank you.
Perfect timing, and thank you so much for starting us off, Jody E. So at this time, although we really value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I'm going to put my listening ears on, and we're going to start with whomever wants to share first? And just tell me your name, your first initial to your last name,
New
and
York
state.
Melanie.
Sorry?
I'm G from New York.
Melanie
C from Oregon. Okay, we have Melanie. Wait a minute. We have Melanie C from, is it from Oregon, Melanie? Is that
yeah, you? Hi, Dan. Uh-huh.
Elaine G from New York.
Elaine G, is that right? Elaine G from New York is the first one?
Yes.
Okay,
Mo
go
H.
ahead. Mo H. Oh, I'm getting good with these names. Okay, I know something. Keep going,
Roz
Roz.
G.
Roz G, got it. Yes.
Deanna F.
Who, Devorah?
Deanna R.
Oh, Dion. Okay, Dion R. That's who I'm going to take for now. A group of five is wonderful for me. All right, Elaine G. from New York, if you could begin now. Thank you. Did I get the name right?
Hi, everybody. I'm Elaine G. from New York. I think what they're talking about here is service. Doing service helps the group out. And gets me out of myself and not listen to the committee in my head that does me no good. And giving to the group, leading meeting, readings, I'm the timer. I reach out to the newcomer and to also mention to the newcomer, besides telling them about OA, about this higher power that can help them become abstinent beside the group. And all I know is that for myself, when I'm doing this, I stay abstinent. When I'm not doing this, I don't stay abstinent. And that's it for me.
Well, okay. Thank you, Elaine G. And she says she's from New York. Now we have Melanie C. from Oregon. Good morning, friend.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. Yeah, that's right. Hey, you know, when Jody was sharing this morning, I didn't think that I had anything to share, and then a memory came, and I was so grateful to have it. My second sponsor, I guess. I was going along and working with her and doing things, and something came to mind to her that brought up the comment that I was later kind of offended by. But she said, Melanie, I mean, really firm to me. She said, Melanie, the quality of your recovery and your program is up to you. And my heart sunk because I think I got the sense at that particular time that once again, I wasn't going to be rescued. And I didn't like that because that's the way I live my life, my entire mm-hmm. life. And, I would go to person or thing to thing. And although I wasn't really conscious of it, I would be asking, what should I do? What should I be? Where should I go? Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? And, you know, I just thought that was the way that human beings live, but it came across on the other side of being very, very needy. And I wanted somebody to miraculously make me stop eating compulsively. But I still wanted to enjoy all the foods that I had. And I wanted to continue to eat the way that I was eating, which was horrendous, but I didn't want to suffer any consequences. And then beyond that, I didn't want to have to depend on anybody else, but I was depending on somebody else. And this whole thing was so confusing because I still needed to get a good, firm, solid handle on step two and step three, coming to believe that there was going to be a power other than myself that was going to restore me to me. I was going to be acquainted with Melanie for the first time and the strength and the qualities that I already possessed that was buried under decades of eating and treating this disease in a dysregulated way. And that took a good long time to go then to the next step, which was step three, making a decision. I thought that that was going to be a one and done. And so I clung to the idea that again, this power was going to sprinkle me with pixie dust, and I was going to be miraculously healed of the drive, the torment, and the torture of the brain to pick up that constant debate back and forth. Are you not? Are you not? And then the rest of the piece, which is the second half of step one, which is managing. I cannot, will not ever be able to manage. I need the support of a power other than myself that's in partnership with me because I'm the heavy lifter. I'm the one. I'm the one that doesn't put that compulsive bite in my mouth. That's up to me. That's my power. In that, in as much as I can call somebody else before I do, there's space and time because I certainly did it for decades with diets, not putting bites in my mouth forever and ever. And then the expansion and the growth. I'm sorry, I need to stop now. The growth of power, mm-hmm. which was the single most important thing that happened to me in my life, was relationship to power other than myself. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Janice.
And thank you so much. That was Melanie C. from Oregon. Okay, Mo H., please tell us where you're from.
Hey, good morning, Janice. Thank you very much for your service. Yes, my name is Mo H., and I am from Northern California. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and I'm a sugar addict. Okay, the first sentence hit me. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. And I have written next to that balance and neutrality in service. And the way I understand this particular paragraph is speaking to me is about balance in my service. When I first started giving service, I didn't set boundaries around it. And I was saying yes to all the services, service positions in the room and taking on sponsees and, you know, being on the phone a lot, helping others, which I didn't mind, but there did come a point that I did become resentful and it did bite me. It was too much. And I believe I lost my abstinence over that a long time ago. And it taught me a lesson of how to balance my personal time and my program time with sponsees, with service in the program, with my commitments. And so that's what I think Bill is talking to me about in this particular paragraph. But I know service is important because my disease is going to take over if I don't give at all. I have to give a little. Someone freely gave to me. Many people have given to me to help me with my recovery over the years. And especially recently since, you know, I lost my husband, it'll be 3 years ago, this Saturday, I really needed support there. And I found somebody who had lost her husband and she's been just the biggest help because when I'm having a rough day, I can give her a call and she can, you know, empathize with me and we discuss it and helps me through that. But even giving service in that particular way of helping others who have lost spouses or lost family members, parents, children, etc. So I think I'm going to end with that, but I just finding neutrality in service is important for me. And with that, I will pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much. That was Mo H. from Southern California. Now we have Roz G. Tell us where you're from, Roz.
Good morning. Janice, thank you for your service. This is Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles County. This paragraph is so important. All the paragraphs in the big book are important. But what I can say about this one is that I have written in my margin, the sponsor is the lantern and points to the light. The sponsor is not the light, but the lantern that points to the light. And the light is your version of a higher power. And I've learned that enabling sponsees, or anyone for that matter in my life, only hinders their progress. And so I also have learned that I have had to find balance in my giving because I would raise my hand for everything And I belong to several different 12-step groups and organizations together. You know, I have church membership. I have hobbies that I do, like with gardening. You know, when do I volunteer to go to the farmers markets and speak to the public and teach classes? When do I sponsor people? When do I, where do I do things at church? It will drive me crazy. So when and how to give. I believe that for me, the wise thing to do for me in giving and sponsoring and, you know, helping and being useful is that when I'm at my best, not when I'm tired, lonely, and burned out. Yeah, I have to, you know, when I'm feeling the you know, halt or, you know, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or resentful, selfish, dishonest, and fear, yeah, I need to get on the phone and I need to talk to somebody. I need to talk to somebody and I need to talk to God. But what for me to be able to give is when I'm at my best, when I have enough rest, when I have proper nutrition, when I'm not blocked from God, that's when I can give my best. But I also have to follow that 10-step direction. And when I'm, you know, have that turnaround from the resentment or the fear or the harm, yeah, then I need to get my mind off myself and into someone else. So that I have to depend on God. I have to know when I'm at my best, and I have to have balance in how I give. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Roz G. from California. Now we have Dion R. Tell us where you're from, Dion.
Hello, and good morning, everyone. Janet, I haven't heard from you all in a long time. I just want to thank you all. This is Dion R. from Ohio, and very grateful to be a part of this solution. Again today, and just remember the beginning. To hear all these warriors I heard this morning, like, whoa, it's good to know the program works, still works. And what stood out to me today was the minute we put our work on a service plan. Alcoholic or compulsive overeater commences, you know, begin, right? That's what I did, to rely on the assistance. On our assistance, my sponsor, rather than upon. And I heard so many beautiful shares this morning, and as the first one inspired me to rely on God. It's still a spiritual process. It's all about God. It's not about Dion's will. Ooh, because if that's the case, we'd all be in trouble. But thank you all, and thank you most importantly, my higher power. Given me this beautiful program, The Road to Recovery. I took some hard knocks too. And I remember whatever I put in front of my higher power, it crumbles. And I'm right back with him. I go right back to the meeting. I did what I needed to do so I can do better, if that makes sense. I relied on my sponsor. I relied on meetings. I relied on those. Because I had an opt against the higher power that I call today. You know, I didn't know, I didn't really believe there was one. But just to see how everybody's getting something out of this paragraph of today, I depend upon my higher power. But he's the only thing, substance, person, place, or thing that has not changed, never failed, can't lie, consistent. Throughout the 12 or 13 years that I've been exposed to this new way of living, or to the point where I want to do it his way and not be. So I just thank you all for your shares, and just reminded myself that when I'm working with others, my job, like someone just said about that beautiful lamp, my job is to show them where the light is at. That's it. This is, I can just show you. And one of the founders used to say, I don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? I don't have to do nothing different. Just follow a simple direction. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for being a part of my solution.
Thank you so much, Dion, from Ohio, long time. Okay, we're ready to take some more names for the sharing. And I'll just repeat one more time. We're on page 98. The very first paragraph beginning, it is not the matter of giving that is in question. It ends upon, it ends with upon other people, head of dependence on God. Who would like to go next?
Karen K. Zena, Missouri.
All right, we have Karen K. And whom was that?
Donna
L. Will take. And then there was another. Is it a man?
Ian F.
Again, what is it?
Ian.
Sorry. Ian, is it Ian?
Yes.
Okay. Ian S.
Kay.
As in Sam. Just a moment. Ian S. as in Sam. Oh, you'll tell us your second initial.
Family.
Thank you so much. I shattered that. All right. Who's that? Ian?
K. L.
Easy. Thank you, K. K. L. And I can take somebody else. Lovely share. Speaking up. Good.
In Washington?
Somebody from Washington. I didn't get your name.
Chris. Chris X in Washington?
Chris, and is it F as in Frank or S?
S as in Sam.
Yeah, I got it. All right, so let's go. We're going to go with Karen K. And tell us where you're from, okay, Karen?
Hi, everyone. This is Karen K. Z in Missouri. And I love this paragraph and actually the previous share, but the sentence that says, it, you know, if I'm just thinking about service, I don't want my sponsee to rely on me. And my whole role as a sponsor is to, if you will, get my sponsee to see that the way for happy, joyous, and free in recovery is to rely totally on a power greater than myself, whom I choose to call God. And in the last sentence, it's so important. It says, we simply do not stop drinking, or in our case, eating, so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. And that has been the secret, or the whatever, to my recovery this time around, is that I really get that I have to totally rely on God. Not other people. God works through other people. I get that. But I have to know that God is the reason for all these blessings in my life. God is changing me. God is transforming my life. It's not me doing it. I am not changing me. God is changing me as I turn my will, my thoughts, and my actions over to God. So anyway, I love this paragraph, and those two pieces of it just told me the whole secret of my recovery is it has to be total dependence and really gratitude to God who's doing all these works in my life. And with that, I pass.
And thank you so much. Karen KZ, I guess, from Missouri. Donna L., you're up.
Hi, this is Donna L. from Florida. Mm-hmm. The shares have been so wonderful today. I never thought that this part of the book was going to speak to me, but it is speaking to me today as well as everyone else. So when I was in a crisis, I would want to talk to my sponsor before I moved ahead. If she wasn't available or didn't answer my call or text, I panicked. I was too paralyzed with fear to put together a 10-step. That was then. But now I go immediately to God, my higher power, with my dilemma. He calms my fears and gives me the ability to think straight because, as one of my old sponsors kept pointing out, he gave me the brains to use. Sometimes just talking with God's enough. But I now realize that my sponsor isn't my higher power, and neither do I want to be to anyone else. But pointing me to God was the best thing that all of them did for me, and I hope that I will do the same and not think that I have the answers, but point them to the one that has them. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you for sharing, Donna L. from Florida. INF, it's your turn. Where are you from?
Hey, I'm Ian F. from Louisville, Kentucky. Very grateful to be here. You're all y'all, compulsive overeater. This is like the most important lesson that I feel I've learned in program is early on when I would have an issue, and I would go to my sponsor and complain to her about it. She would basically tell me, I don't have an answer for you. And that always blew my mind. But what she explained to me was, if I have an answer for you, it's usually pointing you to the book. And if there's something in the book, what the book is doing is pointing you to God. The only thing I can do as a sponsor is to spread the message, which is that you need to rely upon God instead of other people or any substances. And that's my life. You know, it's really easy for me to want to depend on people inside OA or outside of OA. You know, and it's been my experience that a lot of times people in program are there for me. If I'm having a bad day, I can call them and I can talk about it. Or I can call a newcomer and say, hey, welcome, how are you doing? Does the same thing. But there are also days, there have been days, where I've been feeling really desperate and really out of my zone and out of sync with my higher power, and I've called 13 people and nobody answered. You know, there are times when you just people aren't there. The higher power is always there, and that's the point. So when it's talking about like working with somebody else, and am I being helpful to them by, say, taking them into my house or buying them groceries for the week or whatever, it's not a matter of like, should I do that? It's is this in line with that idea? Like, am I guiding them towards finding their own higher power and developing a relationship with their higher power? Or am I trying to fill that role instead? Because that's not helpful. That's all a sponsor, somebody said, you're like a lantern. And I think that's a beautiful way of putting it. We're here to show where the path is, but not to make the path ourselves, you know, or make decisions for other people. That's about all I've got. I'll pass.
Oh, that's good. Thank you so much, Jan from F from Kentucky. Okay, I believe we have KL. You can tell us where you're from.
Hi, this is KL from Iowa, and thank you so much for your service and everybody's comments today. What really stuck out for me is it's not a matter of giving, that's the question, but when and how to give. And I think this is so important because it really, I always make sure when I have a sponsor, they have a sponsor, that sort of thing, because humility and purity are so important. So the humility, like there's no ego involved. Do I have purity that I'm doing it selflessly? So first my motives and my intentions are all right. But then even more so with the humility that my ego doesn't think I have the power to solve anybody's problems, let alone something that took me years and only a higher power could remove. No doubt all the people that, the angels that God sent, the God with skin on, certainly helped me hear what I think God was hoping I would hear to sort of unravel my knotted head about everything. But in the sense that it was always, there was this humility, like I will share my experience, strength, and hope with you, but I will not be fixing this for you. This is my encouragement. It's only, this is how I found and sought God. These are the things I did so I could at least get clean enough thinking so I wasn't eating, you know, to stop all the crazy chemical things going on with the food, that I could sit and get quiet so that it would be possible for me to even hear God if God was to speak to me. And I can share that how I got there, but it could be very different for somebody else, which is why the meetings are so wonderful, because no one sponsor should or could do that. And the other thing is the ego of, I don't do it for everybody. It's not a popularity contest. I am there just to serve whoever God puts in my path, whether it's one people or five. And then my sponsor always limits me. If I start getting too many, and my sponsor will say, I think this is enough. And that helps me with that balance. And of course, then I ask God, you know, too, but my sponsor is a great person to bounce stuff off of and keep me grounded. So I like this. When and how to give is so important. And I'm so glad that we have a paragraph that talks about it. It's all God-driven, even when we make the decision that we're going to help someone else. God is still the one in charge of, you know, ultimately the best thing for both of us in that relationship of sponsor. So anyway, just a great paragraph. Really gets down to the brass tacks of how we do this and working with others. So thank you so much. That's all I've got.
Thank you so much, KL from Iowa. Now we have Chris S. from Washington, I believe.
Yeah,
good morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is Chris S. in Washington. Good morning to you all. Thank you all for your service and your great shares. Once again, it is not a matter of giving that is in question. And here I have to always set my priorities. I can only do so much in a day. And so most of it's in the morning. So I'm so grateful for this morning meeting. That's when I have the energy to really take part in this. For me, I am recovered, and I'm always in the recovery program. Takes me back to page 60, where it says he clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master eating or drinking or whatever the poison is until his material needs are cared for. I know that's nonsense because I've been there and I've done that. And being able to recognize that in other folks or in people who are asking me to sponsor them is important. Also, at the bottom of this, at the end of this paragraph, it says, dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. And this is not a religious God. This is a spiritual God. And this takes me right back to page 60 of our big book, where it says, A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives, and B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, and C, that God could and would if he were sought. I know when I feel that I'm heading into misery or into a problem or chaos hits, I need to go back to step two. Step two is so powerful for me, where I come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And what's the next step? It's three, putting my life and my will into the power greater than myself. And not even being the God and trying to be the God in my own life, but trying to set up a sponsor or other people as a God for me. So practicing the spiritual power of the program, following the spiritual steps of the program, which is steps 1 through 12, are so important in what I try to stress in sponsoring others. Thank you all for your shares. And with that, I pass.
Yeah, all perfect timing. Thank you, Chris S. from Washington. Okay, according to my clock, we've got about 5 minutes. I can take two shares at 2.5 minutes apiece. Who would like to take that spot?
Diane White from Texas.
Okay, thank you. Diane Y, is that what you said, from Texas?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. And there was somebody else?
Alexis F.
Oh, yeah, Alexis, sure. Alexis S., and you can tell us where you're from when you share. Okay, Diane Y. from Texas, it's your turn.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your service and your share. I love this passage. A friend of mine in program for years would always read this to me, job or no job, wife or wife, no wife. We just don't recover without reliance on God. Years and decades, I would think, I would be okay if I had this job. My problem is I'm unemployed, or my problem is I don't have the right partner, or my problem, you know, just the whole list on and on and on, which is just the mental problem of this disease and my capacity to make everything so complicated. I've come to really understand the crux of this issue as the big book outlines it. My problem is I want to be in control. I lack acceptance. I have resentments because things don't go my way, so on and so on. All of my designs for life. And this passage just speaks to me. I love this passage because what it tells me is, you know, my issue is not my life circumstances. My issue is not externally. My issue is within myself, my mind. The problem is in my thinking. And ultimately, my thinking always leads me to what I want when I want it. And so the big book talks about we have to smash this ego, and relying on God is the answer. It's taken me a long time to realize this. Early in program, my God was my sponsor. And I gave all my power away to sponsors. And it wasn't until I had sponsors that taught me the message of this big book, line after line after line, over and over and over again. All my answers come from this book. Anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Perfect sharing. Thank you, Diane White from Texas. Now we have Alexis. You can tell us where you're from. I think it's New Jersey, but go ahead, Alexis. Your turn.
This is Alexis F. from New Jersey. When I first started with my sponsor 10 years ago, I was eating one sugar product every day in great quantities. And she stuck with me for a year. And every day I would say, well, I had it again today. She would say, of course you did. You're a compulsive overeater. You can't help yourself. And I wish I could wave a magic wand and tell you that you don't have to eat that anymore. But unfortunately, I don't have that power. It comes from a power greater than myself and greater than you. And until you find it, you're going to be eating that substance every day. So I started praying, and gradually I passed the place where I bought this product, and I don't even notice it when I drive by it now. It's just, I'm just completely neutral to it. There are times that I salivate about it, and I'm glad because it's reminding me that I'm a compulsive overeater, and I can't handle that different food. Also, if I compare myself to everybody, I'm always going to fall short. But when I compare myself to myself, I see that there's been progress. I see that, you know, I've come, I don't know whether I can say I've come a long way, but I've grown, you know, somewhat. I'm not where I was before. So that's important in my program as well, not comparing myself to others. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Alexis F. from New Jersey, for timing. Okay, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So now will Benita C., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and end with Keep You Until Then. Go ahead, Deb.
This is Benita, compulsive overeater from Anchorage, Alaska. Oh. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose to you and to us.
Yeah.
Ask Him in your morning meditation. Kindly
star 1-1 mute that you don't realize that it's on. Okay, go ahead, Benita. Sorry. Go ahead, dear.
Okay. Benita, compulsive overeater from Anchorage, Alaska. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Do I keep going?
No, it isn't. We're just waiting for the
recording
to stop.
Please.
The rest of the reading needs to continue, please, to the bottom of the page.
She keeps going.
Thank you.
Of course. Oh, my goodness. Yes. I'm sorry. Anita, please go on to abandon yourself to God.
Okay. Abandon yourself to God, to you as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you.